Listen, I did film and television studies at university for 3 years. I spent hours reading countless books and articles on subjects spanning from film all the way to television. Not a single one mentioned Hugh Grant once.
I achieved the hardest qualification across any university or college ever, a 2-1 in history. Let me tell you, the only thing that I learned was that we, as a society, have a history of denying and neglecting Hugh Grant's artistic and cultural relevance, not just in this country, but in the entire world.
I met Oscar at a Hugh Grant-themed event I put on at the Students' Union.
It felt as though Digory and I were the only ones there. And we agreed that there was a Hugh Grant-shaped hole in academia.
We decided to put it right ourselves. We want to show people that he's an icon in acting.
We want to show people he's more than just a bumbling posh guy.
I'm Digory Waite.
And I'm Oscar Beardmore Gray.
And this is...
Taking Hugh for Granted.
Hello and welcome to Taking Hugh for Granted, the podcast in which two Hugh Grant enthusiasts watch every single film starring Hugh Grant in the attempt to answer the simple question, is this film taking Hugh for granted? Is this film good on its own or does it rely on the bumbling Brit for its acclaim? I'm Digory Waite and I'm joined as always by my colleague and fellow Hugh Grant obsessive Oscar Beardmore Gray. Oscar, how the bloody hell are you doing today, mate?
I'm doing great, Diggs. They thought that they could get rid of us, but we're back on the airwaves for a fifth year. This is the fifth year of Taking Hugh for Granted.
Wow, 5 years of Taking Hugh for Granted. That is actually crazy. We're not fucking leaving. to sort of butcher the quote from The Wolf of Wall Street, which, you know, I still am sad that they didn't cast Hugh Grant as Leonardo DiCaprio's role in that. That would have been really, really quite something. Jordan Belfort, that's what I mean. Anyway, how the devil are you?
I'm doing well, Diggs. I'm doing very well. Yeah, it's been a few weeks now since we finished our epic ranking of all Hugh Grant films. And yeah, the hiatus has felt a little odd, but at the same time, like I feel like I've felt a sense of fullness from completing that mission. I don't know about you. How have you felt over the last few weeks?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, it's sad not to have. It was such an amazing expression of love for Hugh Grant, for each other, for the podcast, for our lovely listeners at home. I mean, the tens of you out there, it really is great to to connect with you guys. But honestly, like the feedback on it that we got was so nice and it was so great. And it really felt like it's understandable that it felt like the ending of something. But the problem is, Hugh Grant is still making movies. He's still out there. I've actually got a quote from him here relating to Wonka that says, it's very confusing. With CGI now, you can't tell what's going on. I slightly hate making films now, but I have lots of children and need money. So the good news is he's going to keep gracing our screens for a long while to come. So hopefully more films to watch.
His kids must be very expensive because he's made it. You would have thought he's made a lot of money by this point. But just to go back to that point about the feedback that we received after making the ranking, I mean, it was nothing but positive. And, you know, it did feel really nice to have completed the ranking and have so many people reach out, fans from all over the world, people who've been with us all the way. So thank you to everyone who listened. We did have a few trolls, which means we must have done something right as well.
Exactly.
People who listened to the podcast might not have realized that we actually put that ranking on YouTube. And I feel like YouTube is a bit more of a, you know, it's a bit of a graveyard for people like us. I feel like YouTubers. Yeah. Yeah, we had one comment on one of our previous episodes, One Red Nose Day in a Wedding, where someone just said misleading and pointless, which I thought was pretty...
misleading?
Yeah. I don't think that person got the point of the podcast. Like,
no.
You know, like, why they've gone to that particular episode, I have no idea. But
yeah,
the rest of the comments are great, and there were so many people being like, this is the nichest thing ever, and... Yeah, it is.
It is. It does not get more niche than this. Yeah, I absolutely love it. But it's this niche that keeps on giving, like I say, more and more Hugh Grant films, like the one we're talking about today, which regular listeners of the podcast will know that Oscar and I, Oscar, you live in Canada, I live in London, England, where I'm constantly on the lookout for Hugh Grant. But we were reunited over Christmas, back in the same place, back with, I was just one cinema seat away from you, and we watched this film together. I think there's just something special when we get together to watch a Hugh Grant film. There's just a magic in the air. And I think that, I don't want to give too many spoilers away for how we're going to review this film, but I just think it's not possible for me to dislike a Hugh Grant film where I'm sat next to you. It's like, it was like The Lady and the Highwayman, that like TV movie we watched, when we watched that together, like that I thought was amazing. And, you know, like I say, I really thought Wonka was really good, but we'll get into that. But it was good to hang out again.
It was great, Diggs. Yeah, I think the last time we watched a Hugh Grant film together in the cinema, we've only done it once, and that was for The Gentleman, and that was also a cracker. So maybe our opinions are skewed by the fact that we watched it together. Because exactly. The Lady and the Highwayman came in our top 10 of all Hugh Grant films ever, which maybe that one is a little controversial. So, but yeah, it was fantastic to be in the cinema with you. We went to see it at the Tottenham Court Road Odeon in central London. I nearly missed the start, but I got there right at the moment where Timothy Chalamet is on his little boat singing. So we managed to get in just in time, and yeah, it was great, wasn't it?
It was great. Really, really good. Yeah. So I guess then, I mean, we should, I imagine, waste no more time in hearing a little synopsis from Synopsis Simon for the people that don't know the plot of Wonka, because it might be different from the one that you think it is. It's not quite Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. And then let's chat about the film after that.
Wonka, directed by Paul King and released in 2023. With dreams of opening a shop in a city renowned for its chocolate, a young and poor Willy Wonka discovers that the industry is run by a cartel of greedy chocolatiers. If that wasn't bad enough, he must also work out how to contend with his stalker, a small orange man played by Hugh Grant.
Wonderful stuff from Synopsis Simon there. Absolutely fantastic. Well, we're back, Oscar. So, let's maybe park conversations about the film as a whole and maybe, you know, Willy Wonka and stuff, because obviously we'll get to all that. But the people are here. They want to hear about Hugh Grant and they want to hear about the Oompa Loompa. What were your thoughts on Hugh Grant in the film?
Well, I think there was a certain amount of trepidation when firstly this film was announced and we found out that he was going to be Oompa Loompa. Yeah. Certainly leading up to the release, and then, you know, in the cinema, I was still, heart was pounding a little bit for Hugh, because I was like, this is rogue. This is very rogue. But, you know, seeing it on screen, it worked. It did work. And I think Hugh's look was probably his craziest he's ever had in his career. I mean, most people know what Oompa Loompa looks like, but for those who don't, you know, he is the little orange man, as he's referred to in the film. Mm-hmm. He is fully orange. He has green hair. He has white eyebrows. He is about like a few inches off the ground.
And very, you know, interesting.
The CGI is really, really excellent, because it actually looks quite convincing. It doesn't look really strange like you think it might. I mean, there were issues, weren't there, Diggs, before this film came out, about there was a certain amount of criticism thrown at Hugh Grant and the director, Paul King, about the fact that Hugh Grant was cast as a small character, not someone with dwarfism. Do you have any comments on, you know, how that has actually played out? Because I think some of those problems, you know, were being thrown at Hugh Grant before people had actually seen the film.
Yeah, I mean, I really do think it's funny. I got texts from people being like, "Oh, have you heard Hugh Grant's cancelled?" You know, and some people who genuinely were really quite annoyed about it. I sort of think with this, it's interesting because, to be honest, I haven't really seen much more about it since the film came out. I think the film got a pretty decent reception from most places, and the conversation around that sort of died down. I think the film is damned if it did and damned if it didn't, in the sense of, there's a couple of things that we can talk about around that, but it's like, cast our minds back to The Batman with Robert Pattinson. And
how many references to The Batman are we going to get on this stupid podcast?
I'm sorry, I'm a massive nerd, I must mention it. But Robert Pattinson's Batman, they were talking about how they wanted to, you know, reimagine Batman, this, that, and the other. And they were sort of thinking that for this iteration of The Batman, they didn't want to have the Batmobile. But they did this sort of, they talked to people of what do they think about when they think of Batman. And they think Batmobile, and eventually they were like, we just have to have the Batmobile. It's quintessential. When you think Willy Wonka, you think Oompa Loompa. I sort of feel like, you know, obviously you think of chocolates, this, that, and the other, but what is something that you could look at it and go, bang, that's Willy Wonka? If you look at a chocolate, you don't think Willy Wonka. If you look at Oompa Loompa, you think Willy Wonka. If you look at the Batmobile, you think Batman. You sort of need it in the film. If they had done this film and cast a small person in the role, people would be going, this whole Oompa Loompa stuff is outdated, mate. This is really bad. Can a small person get a role around here that isn't an Oompa Loompa or a dwarf or an elf in a fantasy film? Like, you know, people would say it was outdated. However, when they do what they did in this film, which was a sort of reimagining of the Oompa Loompa in this film, like you said before, is a few inches tall. They're not a small person. They're not a fully sized human. They are tiny. Like Hugh Grant's character is tiny in this film, and so they've sort of made a whole new sort of character under the name, and I think that way it should hopefully get around that thing. But I can understand people coming from both sides, but I sort of feel like they are damned if they do, damned if they don't. And to the point, like I said before, you sort of need Oompa Loompas in Willy Wonka. I think people would feel hard done by if they weren't in there. And this retelling was funny. I mean, he's so posh and weird. It's Hugh Grant as an Oompa Loompa. Come on, guys. That was worth the ticket alone. So, you know, it's good fun.
It definitely was. And I think that's a really good point you make, Diggs, about the sort of reimagining of the Oompa Loompa. And, you know, this whole film is a reimagining of what Willy Wonka is. We'll get on to Timothy Chalamet, but, you know, that character has been completely transformed. And I think it works with the Oompa Loompa because, you know, not to make it, it's kind of a joke when you say this out loud, but the Oompa Loompa has a bit of agency, whereas in previous iterations of Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, the Oompa Loompa was just this kind of weird character who couldn't really sort of talk, but didn't talk, but it was just like a very strange alien character. Whereas this Oompa Loompa has, you know, some personality, you know, he has feelings, emotions, and Hugh Grant conveys that really well. So I think that, yeah, the agency given to the Oompa Loompa and his own little storyline that we get to see play out actually really adds to the story. And like you say, Hugh Grant playing this, like, you know, this posh bumbling Oompa Loompa is pretty hilarious. And, you know, like the way that he does his little dance and he says, oh, you know, I can't stop now, I'm dancing. It's pretty funny. I just wanted to also chat about how they actually made this happen, because Hugh has said basically that he really didn't enjoy filming this film because he had to be like put in a suit, and I'm not quite sure exactly how they made it work, but he said it was extremely uncomfortable. And obviously, you know, it's just kind of like his face. They do his like arms and stuff and make him small. But what do you make of that?
Well, I think the whole with this, it's this sort of like motion capture technology where they stick things to your face, but also I think, you know, they have cameras sort of attached to you, constantly filming your face, facial movements and expressions, so that then, and with the stuff stuck on your face, they can then CGI your face. And it, the thing is, like you said at the beginning, it really works. Like in the film, you look at this, obviously you can very clearly tell it's CGI, but you look at it and go, that works. There's I'm going to mention another superhero film, I'm so sorry, but in Captain America, Chris Evans's character, Captain America, I think it's Chris Evans, is absolutely stacked. Like he's a big actor in real life, but at the beginning of this film, before he becomes Captain America, they have to make him this skinny little guy to show the transformation. And they try and do a similar motion capture with his face, and they sort of superimpose his face onto a body double who's this skinny guy. It looks so weird because his face is like doesn't fit the face, and it's like moving around loads and doesn't really work. With Hugh Grant in this, it really does work. However, like he said, it is it was really uncomfortable. He said, he was like, it was like a crown of thorns, very uncomfortable. I made a big fuss about it. I couldn't have hated the whole thing more.
Whether or not he actually did hate it is another thing entirely, because
he now
has this persona on every red carpet, every sofa of a chat show, where he basically just plays the grumpy guy, says that he's plays a pervert in every film, and you're like, Hugh, please rein it in, mate, because this podcast, if you get cancelled, it's over.
Yeah, oh my God, it's so bad. We need to have a little production meeting as well about what we do if that happens, because like you say, every interview he gives, I feel like we're edging ever closer. The interviews, if you are interested, surrounding Dungeons and Dragons, go seek them out. Just look at how his cast react to what he has to say for himself, because that tells you everything you need to know. Anyway, that's a side point. But yeah, you're never sure if he really did hate it. But I don't know. I mean, some of these comments, he did feel a little bit unfortunate. I mean, Hugh said he was confused as to whether he was meant to act with his body or not, and said he never really received a satisfactory answer. So I think that was the problem. I was going to ask you, like, I thought his performance was really good. In terms of, you know, but what he did with his voice and his face, it was very funny. I laughed a lot when he was on screen. But I suppose the physical stuff, the stuff with his body, it was all done by an animator. The dancing, obviously bits where he's like sort of flying around the place on weird like mechanical things and stuff, because he's a bit of like a cat burglar sleuthy guy. So that was all funny as well. But I suppose as an actor, you want to, the first thing you'll learn at RADA or whatever is like, you know, you act with your body and the rest follows. You know, not that I have any idea what they do at RADA. They probably just dance around a room like cats and meow at each other or something fucked up. I do wonder whether he will feel a little bit shortchanged. But I mean, yeah, just to ask you, I mean, his performance, you agreed. I thought it was good.
I did too. I mean, I think to that point that you just made, the fact that he is an orange man who's 5 inches tall means that not many people are paying attention to the fact that he can't use his body to act. Most people are just like floored by the fact that we're looking at Hugh Grant as a small orange man. So I think he can be cut a little bit of slack for that. And of course, you know, the trailer to this film made it look like Hugh was going to be in the film a lot. In reality, he has got his classic and Hugh Grant role, where he's in it for two scenes.
Yes.
He steals the show, but he's only in it for two scenes. But overall, I think it was another good role for him. I mean, the Oompa Loompa is an entitled bastard, spiteful, prickly, and that's basically what Hugh Grant is. So it's just
exactly.
I think the role fitted him well, and actually it's up against Timothée Chalamet's very, very kind of like happy-go-lucky character, and it kind of worked that contrast, didn't it?
Well, now you mention Timothée Chalamet's character, I'll be very interested to hear your thoughts on this, because obviously the film is called Wonka. This is what it all rests on. And if you weren't aware already, the film is not Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. This is a sort of prequel to that, or a telling of the origins of Willy Wonka. I remember the trailer said how Willy became Wonka, which I don't think makes any sense. that was like their big tagline, how Willy became Wonka. It's like, what? But anyway, we got the gist. And I think, you know, I'll just say it straight up. This version of Willy Wonka is very happy-go-lucky, and everything's a bit weird. You know, what was that? Now listen up and batten down, scratch that, reverse it, or whatever the hell he says. You know, that sort of, he's a bit weird and kooky, but you know, I think if you can even have this, Willy Wonka purists will say Willy Wonka should be slightly unhinged. Johnny Depp's Willy Wonka was weird. Gene Wilder's Willy Wonka was weird. I'm sure the Willy Wonka in the book was weird, because Roald Dahl's books are fucking weird. And they're all a bit unhinged and crazy. But I think as a retelling goes, it's great. You know, it sort of goes with a sort of feel good, happy go lucky film. What did you think about Timothy in this film?
Yeah, well, it's an interesting point you make about the previous Wonkas, because I think this film is a big departure from Roald Dahl's style of storytelling. Like Roald Dahl, you associate with like, there's got to be some like weirdness and cruelty involved. Like, you know, you think of Matilda and stuff like that, where there's, you know, every Roald Dahl character, book there is horrible thing.
Nail on the head. Yeah. Exactly. So, they're horrific.
So I think there isn't really anything in this film particularly that is homage to the original telling of or character of Willy Wonka. But if you compare it to Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, which I watched the other day as kind of preparation for watching Wonka, this is a far more, you know, feel good, happy, relatable character than this sort of the sinister and creepy portrayal of Wonka that you get from Johnny Depp. And frankly, now that we, you know, 20 years later, all the stuff that Johnny Depp has done, it makes it even weirder. And it's all so dark and horrible, and everyone, you know, everyone's mean to each other, and Wonka's got this horrible trauma in Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. So
because
his dad was a dentist and kind of like treats him like shit and won't let him eat chocolate. So it's refreshing. It's refreshing to see Timothy smile and beam throughout this whole film. And you can't help but feel happy watching him play this role. And, you know, I am not a massive Timothy Chalamet fan. I haven't really watched him in anything. I know, you know, people who are Dune fans will hit me around the head for saying that. but I think he's a star. And he is going to be a star who's here to stay. Like, he's got fantastic stage presence. I mean, this is, you know, he fills the screen and you watch him kind of in awe. And he's like, I mean, he's Hugh Grant of the 2020s.
Wow. He said it. He fucking said it. Where's the bell? Because I feel like that's what people keep saying to me. They're like, who's the next Hugh Grant? And of course, it's difficult to find perfection again. You sort of need, when these things happen, when the reincarnation happens, like the Dalai Lama, you know, you can only have one every few generations. But it's the same with Hugh Grant. I don't think we've got the next one yet. When Hugh Grant retires, maybe that's when they'll start searching for the next Dalai Lama, the next Hugh Grant. And listen, we'll be there. We'll be finding them too. But Timothée Chalamet obviously is, imagine, American, North American at the very least. Oh, God, no, of course, he'll be French. French Colombian? Who knows? anyway, he's not going to be. But I suppose, I don't know. I don't know if I would say he's the next Hugh Grant. I feel like already, you know, that's the thing. They've already taken on such different trajectories in there. It feels already, like you say, this guy is a complete star, and he is a leading man in these huge blockbusters, which Hugh Grant never has quite been. Mm-hmm. But like you say, Timothy is really good. I mean, there's still part of me that wants to dislike him because I'm jealous.
Yes. Everyone is jealous of kind of like how nice his face looks.
Yeah,
he is
exactly.
kind of punchable at the same time as being beautiful.
Yeah, exactly. And really talented. And I'm sat there like kind of annoyed about it. Because also he's got some, you know, a whole acting, singing, dancing background. And that got to be really taken to the fore in this film. And I mean, that we haven't even talked about the fact that this is a musical yet.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you that, Diggs. I wanted to ask you that.
Yeah, please.
Because I will just say that, well, there's a couple of things I want to say. Firstly, it's interesting that in the trailer of this movie, they made it seem like it wasn't a musical at all. There's not one.
Yeah.
So I think maybe that's because they think that if they make it a musical, people will not come and watch it.
Yeah.
Secondly, I think the musical firstly worked really, really well. But the one thing I will mark Timothy down on is I don't think his singing is that great.
Interesting. Interesting. Well, I don't know. I would have to go back and have another listen. I wonder whether I couldn't really comment on the singing.
You're talking to someone who's been listening to his songs on repeat for the last 48 hours. So I watched the film twice, just to put it out there. And you know, like the first time you come out and you're like, you know, you unless it was like the most catchy thing ever, you're not going to go away necessarily and listen to all the music again. But the second time, it was enough to, like, I've listened to it again that I really started getting into the songs, and now I can't stop listening to A Hatful of Dreams. And by the way, Hugh Grant has got more credits on Spotify. His Spotify is actually mad.
It's huge. He gets millions of listeners. Yeah.
Yeah. And for people who don't know out there, like, Hugh Grant has got some lungs on him, and he's sung before. So, you know, Paddington 2, music and lyrics. And, you know, his songs on Spotify got like 70 million listens. So he's more successful than most artists out there.
Yeah, it's so true. And listen, this is another great plug for your amazing playlist, the Taking You For Granted playlist on Spotify. Go check it out, because all those songs are in there. Obviously, all the Hugh Grant ones and more. And songs that heavily are featured in his films and stuff like that, so well worth checking out. But I agree, and the musical stuff as well really lends itself to that whole thing of like keeping it fun, keeping it feel good, keeping it comedic, but also when you're in a world like the world they made for Wonka, because it's not England, it's not that London, it's some weird, it's not America, it's some weird sort of,
I think it's meant to be Paris, but it's
right,
like,
okay,
like old Paris.
Yeah, and their money situation is like, what,
sovereigns.
They pay sovereigns. Okay, right, gotcha. So, but it's all sort of dreamy and fun, but it means that you can sort of like have lots of montages and show lots of amazing fantastical things through the songs, because, you know, and everyone's dancing and twirling around and singing, and it's just like you say, it adds the feel good element of it, and it is really good fun. So I was on board with it. I'd also be interested to know. You said obviously you got into the songs more, but do you think that your view of the film changed from the first viewing to the second? Do you think you enjoyed it more second time around, or did you enjoy it just the same each time?
I enjoyed it more. I can say that hands down, because I think when we saw it together, I wasn't totally convinced, was I? I think you enjoyed it more than I did.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think that's because I was taken aback by the musical element, and for the first half an hour I was a bit like, I'm not sure about this. But the second time round, like, knowing what was to come, like, I really like embraced it. And a quick also word, like, you know, we can't discuss it all, but, you know, the supporting cast in this movie is terrific.
Yeah. Amazing. You know, so good.
As many people already know, directed by Paul King, who was the director of Paddington. He hasn't done a whole lot of stuff. So this is kind of like, he's probably been working on this film for many years. And obviously in Paddington 2, you know, there are people like Sally Hawkins and Paul Bonneville and all the rest of these other like British greats who are reincarnated in Wonka. And yeah, quick shout out to the villains, the Chocolate Cartel, who I thought in particular were fantastic. And Patterson Joseph is a favourite of Diggory and I's, who plays, I can't remember what his name
Johnson.
He plays Johnson in Peep Show. But in,
of course you remember Slugworth. That. Yeah, Slugworth. Yes, he's Slugworth in this. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's a proper actor. He's just brilliant in everything he's in. He's so good. And yeah, also, of course, shout out to Matt Lucas and Matthew Bainton, who I also thought was really good. Matthew Bainton in particular, who just, you know, whenever he hears the word poor or anyone mentions poor, he's almost sick in his mouth. I thought they were great. Also, I know we said we wouldn't do this, but I thought Carla Lane was amazing as Noodle. I'm really excited to see what she does for the rest of her career. I love Keegan-Michael Key, who is from, you know, people on YouTube will know Key and Peele. I thought he was really funny as the police guy.
I didn't realize that fat. Him until the second time around, because Key and Peele was hilarious.
It's so good. And I thought sometimes it's weird. I don't know whether because he's sort of taken a roundabout route to Hollywood, I sometimes feel like, and I've seen interviews and stuff where I feel like maybe he doesn't fit the vibe very much. But what's annoying is I think he's more funny than most people in the film. And the film is really funny and everyone's great. Like, he is so good. I love him so much. And of course, this isn't saying much because she's won an Oscar, but I thought Olivia Colman and Tom Davis were really funny as well. And it's always a delight to see them. I really do think this film was just littered with really fun, just really fun characters and a really fun vibe. It was good.
I know you're not being disingenuous there, Diggs, because we watched a kind of mid-afternoon screening of this, and Diggs was like laughing so much at the cinema. He was that guy who people were like looking around at being like, who the fuck is that bloke who's laughing? What a weirdo.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Like, almost to the point that I think people thought that you might have been like sarcastically laughing.
I loved it. I don't know what to say. Like, I just found it really, really, really funny. And like you say, I remember that cinema was bad because there were just moments of everyone else was silent and the only noise you could hear was me laughing at the back of the cinema. But yeah, I'm glad you said that because I feel like people will see Wonka coming up and people, recognizers of the podcast, will go, fucking hell, Diggory's going to rip this to shreds because that's my usual thing. I'm usually like really annoyed. But I don't know. I mean, we talk about this a lot as well. I was with you watching a film with you, which I was really excited about. I was a little bit tired that day, though, but oddly that put me in a sort of cuddly, fun mood. So then to have then a Hugh Grant film put in front of me that's a musical and a comedy that's all about fun and fantastical chocolate, I was like, you've hit the nail on the head. That's exactly what I want. So, yeah, I really liked it.
Perfect, Diggs. Amazing. Well, I think on that note, we should round it up and see whether we're taking Hugh for granted.
Let's do it.
Taking Hugh for granted. Taking Hugh for granted. Taking Hugh for granted. What did you think, lads? Were they taking Hugh for granted?
Oscar Beardmore Gray. Wow, wow, wow. We're back again for another Hugh Grant classic. Wonka, are we taking Hugh for granted?
It will come to no surprise that we are not taking Hugh for granted here. This is another great, great Hugh Grant film. I think that if we were to put Wonka in our overall ranking, which sadly, maybe we will have to find a way of slipping it in somehow.
Like, well, I was going to ask you how you'd rank it in there. Maybe we can work it out, but so, do go on.
Okay, I'll carry on and just say that, yeah, we're not taking Hugh for granted. Hugh expands his repertoire. He's funny. He's charming.
Mm.
He acts it up with one of the biggest Hollywood stars in Timothy Chalamet and wipes the floor of it.
Yes, yes. Yeah.
His singing is brilliant. Mm. The film itself is marvelous. It's family fun. It's stick it on with your grandma. It's watch it in 10 years and still be brilliant. It's going to be a West End musical.
Yes.
It's going to have a legacy. It's going to have a legacy, this film. I'm telling you right now. And yeah, it's brilliant. I think that we'll look back at this film fondly for many years to come. So we are not taking Hugh for granted.
I love that. I absolutely love that. I will concur. If we are parking things from his perspective, it does sound like for this film, he thinks he was maybe taking for granted slightly in the way it was filmed and the acting and stuff. And like we say, he wasn't in it that much. But all that to one side, this film, I think, is not taking you for granted. Like I say, I really enjoyed it. I thought it was good family fun. And I, for once, have taken my bloody film hat off. And even with it on, it's good. I like it for what it is, guys. We've got to take it for what it is. And it's just a good piece of fun. And it's one of those things that pulls at your little heartstrings, especially when he sings Pure Imagination at the end. Love all that fan service. Which you can listen
in
to.
In a world of imagination.
On the Taking You For Granted playlist. And Oscar singing it right now. So hang on, let's do this then. Because if we were to rank it in our thing, our ranking system, of course, when we ranked the 50, was out of 20, split into four rankings of out of five. God, I've really butchered that. So how good was Hugh in the film? I would say, don't know. I would say either 3 or 4 out of 5. You can't give him 5 because of the no body.
I think I'll give him 4.
Yeah, let's go 4. How much was Hugh in the film?
3 or 2. 2.5.
Let's put 2.5. How sexy was Hugh? I mean, honestly, that's got to be a 1, right?
Yeah,
it's a 1. I mean, and then how good was the film? I would say 4 out of 5.
Are you going 4.5.
I love that. Okay, I can't do the math, but I think that
that's problem 7, is 8, 8 add 4. I think it's 12.
It's not getting that high up, no. I'm afraid.
I don't think I don't think that makes the top 20, which is shocking. That's
shocking.
Unfair. This film has been undone by our ranking system because,
exactly,
you know, when you're a little orange man, you're not going to get very high up, are you?
Mm.
Did I just say you got 13? Was that 13?
You said you got 12, bruv.
No, that can't be right. I think that we must have done right. Maths right. Because that would put him in 49th place.
That would be so bad.
Okay, how much is he in it? 2.5. How good is he? 4?
Yeah, sure.
6.5. How sexy is he? 1. 7.5. Quality of film overall, 4.5. So that's 13.
Okay. Where's he rank?
Mate, that's... comes 49 out of 50. I'm so glad that we did the ranking before this film.
Imagine that. So what's it snuggled in between on A Profit and Pleasure and Cloud Atlas? I don't believe it. Oh my God.
Oh God.
Two fucking shocking films. Imagine that. No, the thing is, this is why when haters came out and said, I can't believe your ranking system. But listen, this is Hugh Grant films. These are films that you want to see, that have Hugh Grant in them a lot. Maybe we have undone him with the... But you want to see sexy Hugh Grant. He's not that sexy in this. Maybe we could bump him up to 2. But no, maybe. I don't know.
For an Oompa Loompa. I mean, he's lofty, shorty, whatever his name was in that. Maybe for an Oompa Loompa.
Yeah, potentially. Although, even if we asked an Oompa Loompa, they'd be like, I don't fancy him. He lost all of our lovely gooseberries or whatever they're called in the film. He was asleep when Willy Wonka nicked him. Oh, dear. Well, what fun. Oh, my God. That's it. Willy Wonka. Done.
Done and dusted.
Done and dusted. Well... We're going to have to have a little think about, we'll have to work out and have a little spy on what film is coming next from Hugh Grant. Because as we've mentioned, there's a lot coming next. Now, I think even a ruddy TV show might be coming up soon.
Yeah, he's certainly not putting his feet up. Let's put it that way. He was in Vancouver last October to film a horror film of some kind.
A horror film?
Yeah, mate, my friend bumped into him on the street. It was mad.
Bumped into him? No way. That's class. That's so cool. I didn't realize it was a horror film as well. That's amazing. Wow.
Yeah. There's plenty of wacky stuff coming down the pipe. So,
That's very
lots to look forward to.
We've of course got, just to list off some of them, Unfrosted, which is the...
It's the Frosties film. Could be interesting.
Yeah, exactly. And Pop-Tarts. Heretic, which...
Also sounds mental.
Yeah, it just says plot under wraps. Rumoured to follow two young women of religion who are drawn to a game of cat and mouse in the house of a strange man. Well, who guess who the fucking strange man is? Got what? You know, that is Hugh Nascence in a nutshell. And then The Regime, the episodes, 6 episodes, an authoritarian regime is about to unravel, follows the story of 1 year within the walls of its palace. I mean, that sounds to me like a dig at The Crown. And The Crown in this country, which I'm sure Hugh Grant will be backing. Although, actually, I don't know about Hugh Grant. Do you reckon he's an anti-royalist?
No, I know he's anti-royalist.
Yeah, I think he's a royalist, isn't he? Yeah, he can't not be with his aristocratic ties.
I know, exactly.
Wonderful. Well, we will see you then for when those come out. Please do subscribe, follow us on all the social medias. You can find us if you look up Taking Hugh for Granted. And we'll see you then. Thanks so much, everyone.
Thanks, everyone.
Bye.
Bye. Thank you.